Amen, 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 amen. Man, it's so good to be here. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. I am so glad. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on, how many really glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Eric, you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on, man. Hallelujah. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Man, how many glad to be sitting next to the person you're sitting next to? Oh, hallelujah. Man. Man. Okay, and if you're not sitting next to someone that you want to sit next to, you can get up and... No, sit down. You guys are funny. I like that. That's good. That was good. So, how many know I'm thinking in over 20 years of ministry, from the first day that Tam and I became pastors here, we never missed until last year, like December, whatever it was, 20 something. And then I was sick, for like 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. Tamara's still not here, but every day she's feeling better. Can you say amen for that? I know you continue to pray for her, and we thank God, you know what, that God is raising her up. And I thank God for your willingness to believe the word of God, to have, we're going to talk about it today, to have the belt of truth on. You know what, I talk about the belt of truth all the time. Such a powerful thing. But as I was sitting there day after day, after day after day after day after day after day, and there were so many days, because, you know, like, you know what, I might, you know, have a little cold or sniffle, but I'm very healthy, and thank God for it. And so this kind of was like, man, and I remember talking to Daniel and saying, hey, Daniel, I can't seem to get around the corner. You know, but in the midst of my body being weak, say body being weak, it's really important. My spirit wasn't weak at all. And let me tell you why. Because I was grateful. What was I grateful for? Oh my goodness, I don't have time to go over it all. You know what? I look out the window one day and I see Josh walking up and down my street. Come on. I'm like, what the heck? What are you doing? Well, I kind of knew what he was doing. He was out there praying. You know what? And I don't have time. I went over it last week, and I don't have time to go over all the graciousness that you and all the love that we felt from so many people. And it was at that time, what am I doing? My body is feeling weak, but my spirit is strong. Amen. Amen. My spirit is tough as nails. My spirit is saying, the only thing that is surprising me is that I still don't feel good. Because I know the word of God, I know his covenant to me, and I know that he is my provider, and he's my healer. And I have a revelation of that. So even though I'm sitting there not feeling good, the only thing that is shocking is that I feel as bad as I did the day before. Because I'm anticipating that I'm going to feel better. But as I'm feeling awful outside, inside, my spirit is high. I'm up here. I'm not talking about, I'm dancing around. Ooh, I'm not talking about that. But how many know you don't have to be dancing outside to be dancing inside? And y'all were the reason that Tamara and I, even though outwardly we didn't feel good, inwardly we felt great. Because we knew that we weren't in this alone. I'm going to talk about that next week. And we had people who had our back. We knew it. And we felt it. And it was amazing. And that's the reality. So, just to review from last week, gratitude is going to raise you up. Say, gratitude will raise me up. Okay. And God, how many want to please God? How many want to please God? Oh, let me ask you again. How many want to please God? Okay. And in your wanting to please God, God has blessed you. How many has God blessed you? Okay. How many has God blessed you a lot? Okay. Come on. Thank you for the two hands up. Amen. So much. But listen to me. God expected. We looked at it last week. Remember the 10 lepers. The one leopard comes back and God says, where are the, Jesus says, where are the other nine? Why? Because God has an expectancy of you being grateful. Amen? How many of you, if I bought you a car and you wrote me a letter and said, hey, thank you for the car. I bought you a car, not a beater car, a brand new Lexus. How many know if you wrote me a letter saying, hey, I noticed the car. I'm so grateful. Thank you. How many know that card would be inappropriate? Why? Why would it be inappropriate, Isaac? A car, amen. I didn't buy you a Dodger hat. I bought you a car. There should be an expression of gratitude that is at some way different than if I bought you a hat. Amen. But even if I bought you a hat, I should be grateful. Or you bought me a hat, I should be grateful. What I'm trying to teach you is that if you think of what God has done for us, it's so much valuable, more valuable than a car. That's why. How many know that the praise sets up the preaching? Sets up your heart to be ready to receive the preaching. But how many know the preaching sets up your heart to be ready to praise? That's why, you know what, when I'm done here, I'm expecting, and God is expecting, that every single one of us have an expression of praise that is equal to all the blessings that God has given us. Amen. I'm just telling you, I don't care about your personality type. Your personality type is so about you. And praise isn't about you. It's about Him. It's not about how you feel. It's about His worthiness. How many would shout and say, God is worthy to be praised today, no matter how I feel? Amen? And if you will start to praise Him in the midst of what's going on, whatever's going on in your life, you'll start to live a higher life because your life will get off the crazy up and down. How you listen, every day, I got a good day. How many know I'm going to have a good day tomorrow? Well, you don't know if you're going to have a good day. I just told you I'm going to have a good day tomorrow. Because whether it rains or it's sunny or my hair goes wacky. And I looked in the mirror the other day, and I'm like, man, what's with my hair? Right? It doesn't make any difference. doesn't make any difference. And if you will start to have an attitude, your attitude is going to determine your altitude. And if you'll start to have an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of appreciation. And we said last week, this is a question you need to ask yourself. Does everything have to be perfect in your life for you to give God praise? No. I said last week, we did this on purpose. We said, if you got something good going on in your life, would you do it again? If you got something good going on, something, anything good going on in your life, raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Now listen, watch this. With your hand, this hand up, if you got something else not so good going on in your life, raise your other hand. You see, that's, so what? You still got something good going on in your life. And so praise him because he's worthy to be praised. Amen? Gratitude will lift you up. Ungratitude, non-gratefulness, you know what that's going to do for you? It's going to bring you down. Ain't no sunshine when I'm not gratitude. Right? Ain't gonna be no sunshine. Ain't gonna be no sunshine when you have figured out in your life, when you're always focused on what is bad going on in your life. And there's so many people, look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you. Hey, how many know I could be talking about you? That's the message. How many doing this perfectly? Raise your hand if you're doing this perfectly. Raise your hand if you believe that you're here on purpose, that God would help you to do better tomorrow than you've done before. See, look at that. That's good. That's good. Amen. Do y'all have your hands raised up? Good. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So, gratitude going to raise you up. That's why in the midst of my junk and feeling not good, I was still raised up because I understood this principle. Gratitude is going to lift you up. Not being grateful is going to bring you down. It's going to bring you down. Amen. It's going to bring you down. And you don't have to, and how many know nobody chooses your attitude except you? Look at your neighbor and say, you choose your attitude. Now look at your neighbor and be kind of drama. Say, I don't choose your attitude. Come on, do it like me. Come on, look at him and say, I don't choose your attitude. You choose your attitude. That is on you. I want to go over some scripture today. How many like when we go over scripture? That's good, you know. I want to go over some scripture today. So Jesus says, where are the other nine? He expects you and I to be full of gratitude. He's done so much for us. Gratitude is going to bring you up. Non-gratitude is going to bring you down. So how does this happen? That's what I want to answer this question today. How does this happen? With all that God has done and with all that God continues to do, this is what I'm going to answer. How is it that any of us at any time in our life become ungrateful? Because if I understand the power of gratitude, gratitude is going to raise you up. Ungratitude going to tear you down. I better figure out what's going on. Look at your neighbor and say, something's going on. Something going on. And the problem is, many of us, we don't even know what's going on. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to learn something today that is really going to help you. Okay, let's go over some scripture. I want to show this to you in scripture real quick. 1 Peter 5:8. I have it up here on the screen. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. He's faker. Look at your neighbor and say, he's a faker. But he's rocking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Somebody say, he is a liar. That's why he's walking like a roaring lion. He ain't a lion. He's not a roaring lion. But he's acting like one because he's a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said this. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He, talking about the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him when he lies. There is no truth in him. Hey, guys in the back, is that the NIV? If you could throw up the, if you can find the NIV on that. Oh, here it is. Sorry. Stay there, guys, you're good. He speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. It comes out naturally. That is his language. That is his nature to lie. Are you catching this? So he is a liar. It's coming out of him. I mean, if you have an upset stomach and you throw up, you know what, and you were eating tacos, how many know you don't throw up pizza? You're not like, what? You know, you walk out of that bathroom, that was so weird. I don't get it. What happened? You know, honey, you feeling good? I'm feeling fine. I feel better now. But you know what? I threw up pizza. I haven't had pizza in a week. I mean, no, that doesn't happen. Whatever's in there gonna come out. Amen. And so what's in Satan, that's just what comes out, because he's a father of lies. That's what he does. Now that's so important, because you need to catch this. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I'm gonna put this all together. Is Satan a liar? Does he come roaming, seeking whom he may devour? Whom he may. Look at your neighbor, say, I hope he doesn't get you. Now let's piece this together. What is that? What is that dependent on? Well, I'm going to show you Hosea. My people are destroyed for a what? A lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. When I went to Bible college in Echo Park, when Life Bible College was in Echo Park, and these people would come by, and they'd be, hey, oh, what? Come on over to my car. I got some stuff for you. Sometimes they'd have these chains that they'd have. You know what? And they'd be like all like, you know, like undercover, because they want you to think like they went up to, you know, some fancy place and, you know what, broke in the house and stole all the jewelry. And now, you know what, they're gonna give you a watch, man. It's a Rolex for $50, man. I mean, no, that ain't a Rolex. It says Rolex on it, but I mean, how do you know that didn't cost that guy $50? I got, man, a solid 14-carat. One of my good friends, Tamara, you might remember this. One of our good friends, went to life with me. And he was like, dude, man, I bought one of those chains. Like 3 weeks later, it was all green and jacket on my... In the same way. See, why would that person be out $50? You know what, for buying that Rolex, or $30 for buying that chain? Because he doesn't understand the scam. Are you catching this? If you understand the scam, you won't get scammed. Is that not right? You'd be like, oh yeah, oh, no thanks. You know what? I'm not gonna do that deal. Hey, come to my van, man. I got some stuff in my van. What do I say when somebody says that to me? I've got time to look in your van. Bunch of cheap stuff you're going to sell me, acting like you ripped it off. I'm going to get some deal. I ain't going to get no deal. I know what's up. Right? I ain't going to get scammed. Amen? But see, what happens is Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? He's roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Who he's looking for? He's looking for the ignorant people who don't know the truth. You don't got the belt of truth on, you won't be in trouble. Because he's going to come, and he's going to come with lies, and you're going to believe the lie, and you're going to have a Rolex, you know what, that doesn't even work, because it's not a Rolex. That's exactly... You missed it on the. He said it's a Nolex. You know what? And I mean, you'd be, man, just go to Kmart and buy a something, right? Buy a Timex. At least it's gonna be working in 6 months, right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Look what it says. Genesis, are you learning something already? Okay, are y'all together with me? Amen? Okay, it's not time to talk about chimichangas right now. Right? So look at your neighbor and say, stay focused. Now the serpent was more cunning than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, stay in there, that verse. He's more cunning. Say cunning. That cunning, you know what, a lot of different understanding of really what that word means. It can be translated clever, crafty, sneaky, right? Clever, subtle. See? So watch what happens. You want to learn something? Look at verse 2. No, stay back on verse 1. Sorry. More cunning. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Did God say that? He's asking her. Next verse. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. See, what is he saying? He's saying she knew it, but he wants to know if she knew it. Are you catching this? Yeah, I know the Bible says don't be unevenly yoked with a non-believer. But Pastor, she's fine. See, do you know it or do you know it? Are you catching what I'm saying? Right? For God knows in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open. See, God knows the truth. God knows what's going to happen. Listen, God knows what's going to happen if you continue to date the people that you're dating. He just knows. He knows what's going to happen if you continue to watch what you're watching. He knows what's going to happen if you keep the attitude that you have. And you justify your attitude. Well, I didn't do anything. He made me do it. He didn't make you do nothing. You determine your attitude. Amen. You determine your actions. Amen? How can somebody can provoke? There can be two people. He can provoke them once. He can provoke both of them. One guy will just walk away. Why? Because he's in control. The other guy will, you know, get in a fight, end up in jail. And then he'll say to the judge, hey, it wasn't me. It was him who made me do it. Judge don't believe that. So watch this. God knows in the day you don't eat it, you know what, your eyes will be open, you will be like God. I'm sorry. Here's Satan saying this. For God knows. See, he's trying. When he speaks, what comes out? Why? Because he's the Father. Because that's what's in there. Whatever's inside gonna come out. Amen. So Pastor, that's a gross illustration. Listen, if it's gonna get you to remember it, whatever's inside gonna come out. So he's told the truth, and he's got this person in between God, who told Eve the truth, and Eve's there, and Satan, and this one is going to choose where her life's gonna go. And it's all going to be based on what she believes. Will she believe the truth, or will she be deceived? Listen to me very carefully. That's you. Somebody say, that's me. And to this point in your life, you don't have to raise your hand. Some of you got it going on. Some of you got it going on. You're close to God, and you're walking in his goodness, and you're walking in his love, and you got the belt of truth on, and there are some great advantages to that, and you're walking in that reality. And others of you, you barely made it here. Well, listen, I'm not going to rip. Thank God you're here. Amen? But God wants you to not be deceived. That's why I'm preaching this today. And most of you didn't get in your car and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start over there. I'm going to probably by the time I reach here, I can begin going at least 35, maybe 40, maybe even 50. And I'm just going to slam my car into that wall right there. That's what I'm going to do. How many of most of you are going to do that? But how many know in your lives, some of you are slamming your car up against a wall? Come on. And here's the problem. And you want to say, no, it's not my fault. And I'm here to love you enough to say, I love you. And I'm not saying you don't have, you know, challenging situations. I'm here to say, understand what's really going on. You're being destroyed from a lack of knowledge. And then watch this second. And in that Hosea scripture, it says, and then you get knowledge and you reject that knowledge. See, that's what you're dying. Not that you didn't have the knowledge. Did Eve have the knowledge? Yeah, but in the midst of the deceiver, she rejected the knowledge and slammed her car completely against the wall. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Wasn't that she didn't have it. Go back to the Galatians. Thank you, guys. You're sharp. Appreciate that. Hey, everybody give a hand to the sound people. Amen. Really? That was good, guys, in the back. I appreciated that. For God knows in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open. This is Satan telling her a lie. For God knows. No. What? Watch what Eve has. Watch what Eve has. I'll just refer to it. In chapter 2, Jesus says, of all of the trees in the garden. Guys, Here's what the Bible says. You know, you ever get up and it's just such a beautiful day? Just so beautiful. You know, that ain't nothing compared to what Adam and Eve had. Because here's what the Bible says. Guys, thanks for paying attention. Man, y'all, eyes are right here. I like that. Because here's what the Bible says. That the creation is under a curse. It's got a cap on it. It's like a sprinter. But the same sprinter that was just awesome, you know, it has a sprained ankle. I mean, you get him out there and he's not going to run the same. How many understand this? This all has a sprained ankle. But in the garden, oh my goodness, there was no sin. So the whole creation was just, you say, Pastor, what did it look like? Here, this is deep. Are you ready? I don't know. Right? I don't know. Here's what I do know, that as awesome as this is, it's nothing compared to what they had. And here's what Jesus said in chapter 2. You can eat this, 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 you can eat this. You can eat all over. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. But you can't eat this. Right? Oh, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you might eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge, there's only one. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know what? You shall not eat. For the day that you eat it, you will surely die. So let me say surely. Listen to me very carefully. God cannot lie. And he can't lie to me, and he can't lie to you. So when he gives you a commandment, you need to understand his commandments are not burdensome. So it doesn't make any difference. I need to understand how Satan is trying to work. He's trying to work by getting me ungrateful. If I'm ungrateful, everything's going to go down. And that ungratitude is going to be motivated by a not content looking at it. You know what it's motivated on? Accepting a lie. Accepting a lie. She believed the lie. She had the truth, but she held the lie. One time, I've used this illustration, but it was so amazing. Tamara and I went to this restaurant, and there was this magician. And this magician, it was amazing. Like, I forget what it was, but it was like, no way. So he you know, has this handkerchief. He asked this lady, you know what, or he had a handkerchief, has this handkerchief, cuts it all up, you know what, tells her, put that, you know, gives the handkerchief, it's like eight different pieces, gives it to the lady, says, put that in your purse. She puts it in her purse. I'm looking at her, put it in her purse. Then he comes on over here, and then he says, you know what, to this lady, hey, look in your purse. She looks in her purse. She says, hey, there's something in there wasn't in there before. She looks in, and sure enough, he pulls out the handkerchief, but it's not in eight pieces. It's in one piece. And Tamara and I are like, no, really. I'm like, that's magic. That guy's magic. Now, I didn't, you know, in my spirit, I knew that. But I'm telling you, it was like, that guy's magic. No way. Here's what I'm telling you. If the magician, if the guy showed me the trick, I'd go, what a goofball. Right? Here's the power. You don't understand that it's a lie. That's the power. And so you said, Pastor, what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying. Satan is lying to you, and he's trying to get you to believe that things are worse than they really are. He's trying to get you to drop all the promises of God that are true and amen, that are something you can really rely on, because, can I show you why? See, guys, I'm telling you what, this is the best message I've preached this year. And if you'll grab a hold of what I'm teaching you, you're going to grab a hold of something. Can I tell you why? Turn to Psalms. Go to the Psalm scripture. 115. I have it here up on the screen. 115, verse 6. How many know Satan didn't have a dad? 16 or 6? Or 16? Yeah, that's it. Watch this. How many know Satan didn't have a dad? So in order to get something done on this earth, you know who he needs? He needs a vessel. He needs someone. You know what he needs? He needs someone who's got a dad. Raise your hand if you have a dad. Okay, if your hand's not up, you're sleeping. I'm going to come over and nudge you in a minute. Okay, what is that? Watch this. The highest heaven belonged to the Lord, but the earth has been given to mankind. Go and see if you can, guys in the back, see if you can find that in the New King James. I mean, in the King James. I think the King James says that God has given the authority to mankind, or to the sons of men. The sons of men. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has been given to the children of men. See, what's the point? The point is, God gives authority to us on this earth. That's why the Bible says, I'm going to piece this all together. That's why the Bible says Satan comes seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because he's got no authority to devour you. He's got no authority to devour your family. All the authority he has is given to him by you, because you have the authority. So what is the plan? The plan is to get you out of gratitude, out of all the things that God has given to you. One of the things he's given to you is all these precious promises. The Bible says through faith and patience, the people in the Old Testament obtained the promise through faith and patience. Just because they didn't get it right away, they didn't throw their hands and go, okay, Satan, I'm going to believe your lie. Are you learning something today? Why am I where I'm at today? You know, there's people who'd come over to my house. Nobody did. But there are people. I could find people come over. Oh, yeah. You know what? You're like that guy I read in the newspaper. You know what? You know, and you're 49. He was only 42 when he died. Somebody didn't catch that. That's all right. That's okay. I was lying about my age. But here's my point. My point is, you could find all kinds of people. I'm very guarded in what I tell people. Why? Because I understand my authority. And I understand how crazy other people are. Amen? And they'll start talking and saying and speaking. Oh, yeah, I know. You know what? My uncle had that. And I'll tell you what. My uncle had that, and he never got rid of it. And it was painful. I remember he used to get up, and I'm on here. Listen, I don't got time for that. I mean, the words are powerful. And they start creating images in your life, and you start thinking, oh, man. You don't remember the dirt clod? If you weren't here last week, you know what? I had a brown spot right here above my knee. And I had some shorts on. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I looked at this brown spot. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I have cancer. And then I thought, oh, or maybe it's just some dirt. But I really, that thought wasn't powerful in my mind. I didn't really think it was dirt. I took some of my, I know this is, ladies, whatever. Took some spit, rubbed it. The dirt, it's just dirt. You know what I mean? And you have to, listen, take heed to what you hear. The Bible says, you know what? Remember this? Remember the guy, his daughter was sick to the point of death? Remember this? And he went to Jesus and said, come on over. And when Jesus was walking over, and as he was walking over, the woman with the issue of blood, you know what, got him busy, and it was still going to go, but stopped him for this. And during that whole commotion and what's going on, these guys from his house come back and they say, don't bother him anymore. She's already dead. You know what Jesus said to her? He said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't believe them. Believe me. Because I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to go over to your house, and let me tell you what I'm going to do. And your daughter is going to live. And then you know what he did? This is important. Then you know what he did? He said, oh, and by the way, as we're walking, I want you stand. Well, not this isn't exactly. But he insisted that no one walk to the house. Do y'all know this? Except the apostles and the man. Do not fear. That's what he told them. Do not fear, only believe. Why? Because word brings fear. Fear of death. Fear of lack. Fear of, it ain't going to go that way. No, I don't got time. As I feel as sick as I've ever felt, I don't got time to listen to a bunch of people cursing me. I'm going to focus on the blessing that God. I have to believe what God said. I can't believe a lie. What's a lie? Well, I won't even speak it. I can't afford to do that. Why? Because my family's depending on me. Because you're depending on me. I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean that I've got to fulfill my assignment. I have time to listen to that trash. And you are the same way. The reason why you are step into this ungratitude mode, don't think it's just coincidental. It's purposeful. It's because you're believing the lies of Satan. You're believing lack. You're believing death. You're believing depression. You're believing, you know what? It doesn't, you know what? And it doesn't make any difference. You know, that don't happen to people like you. You know what? You're too fat. No, you're too skinny. No, you're too tall. No, you're too short. No, you're too Hispanic. No, you're too white. No, you're too black. No, you know what? You're too old. No, you're too young. And it's all just a bunch of lies to cause you to fear. And you need to get back to what the word says. Because God is for you. He is not against you. Amen. That's the truth. But we're going to listen. Remember, here. Let me give you a couple examples. Remember the guy, Ananias? How do you say? Ananias. Remember Ananias? And there's a couple of Ananias, but in this case, Paul gets crazy radically saved. How many got radically saved? Raise your hand. Every single one of your hands should be raised, because I tell you what, if it wasn't for the power of God, you know what? If it wasn't for the miracle of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for, you know what? Oh my goodness. And Saul was like that. He got radically saved. And he said, what do I need to do? And the Holy Spirit gave him direction to where to go. But then there was another guy. How many know God will use, you know, we'll talk about this next week. It's about us together. Not about one person. It's about what we can do together. And God used this other guy and spoke to him and said, I want you to go and I want you to minister to Saul. What was that? And he said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to minister to him, and he's going to minister to all kinds of people. Amen. And the guy was like, let me tell you what's up. That guy is, I'm not going to minister to that guy. And let me tell you why. Because that guy he has done all kinds of crazy stuff. He's throwing people in jail. People are going to jail, and they're being persecuted, including death. And God doesn't know what's up. See, that's what we do. We want to fight with God. No, I know you've told me my marriage is going to be great, but God, you don't understand. But I married the wrong person. No, Pastor, you don't understand. God, you don't understand. This is the truth. And you want to speak a lie that's not the truth. And God says, if you want to do that, because let me tell you about me, I've set before you not only life, I set before you death. And if you want to believe that death, I mean to be pointing to you. If you want to believe that death, then go for it. But that ain't on me. That's on you, Jackson. Amen. What I've done is set life and death before you. And let me tell you why I did it. Not only that you would live, but I want there to be just these blessings, not only coming from you, but coming from your kids and your grandkids, that you and your descendants would have this heritage of God, of this wholeness, of this awesomeness. That's what I've done. But if you're going to hang on to the lie, if you're going to be like Eve and believe the lie that you can't do this, here, let me give you a scripture. Let me give you all your scripture. I'm preaching to him, but I'm preaching to all of you. Let me give you a scripture. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And then God has said, you can do this. And you think, no, I can't do that. Well, see, what are you doing? You're doing the same thing Eve did. You're listening to the lie instead of the truth. And the Bible says, it's the truth that you know is going to set you free. You're going to set you free. Amen. And then you think it's going to happen. And then watch this. The power of repetition. You got this person lying to you. Gosh, we have a, you want to talk about an epidemic. We have an epidemic of liars. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And we got Christians who are believing these lies. And God has set before you life and death. What's the life? The life is the word, the power of his word. And you got to grab a hold of that. And he says, let me tell you what. You want to tell the Holy Spirit what the truth is? Go over to his house. You're going to lay your hands on him. He's gonna be miraculously healed. He's miraculously gonna see again. And here's what's gonna happen. And here, but you can't believe the lie and walk in the blessed life that God has for you. It ain't gonna happen. So I'm sitting there. I mean, feeling. Notice every time I say feeling. Notice every time I say feeling, my words are very powerful. I felt sick as a dog, but God said, by his stripes, we're healed. Amen. Remember the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler comes to God, Jesus, and says, what must I do to get in that kingdom of God? It is weird. We want to know the answers. But then sometimes God gives us the answers like, I don't want it. You know what? Well, God, what should I do? My relationship's all messed up. You know what? My girlfriend, and I don't even know what to do. My boyfriend, I don't even know what to do. And he says, well, you need to drop them. Oh, you know how many, if you ask enough people, you're going to finally, you know what? Finally, everybody say Ram, okay? Just say Ram. No, wait till I ask you. Who do you want to win today? Say the Rams. Who do you want to win today? Who do you want to win today? I don't need no help. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Dickerson. Okay. Who do you want to win today? 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 You don't have to say what they say. Who do you want to win today? 49ers. See, here's my point. How many caught my point? I can ask enough people and finally get 49ers. And then I go, oh, you know what? You know, God's been speaking to me, and I'm unevenly yoked. I never should have started going out with this guy, this girl. You know what? What do you think I should do? You tell me, what do you think I should do? Say, dump her. What do you think I should do? What do you think I should, see, you guys are too nice. You're like, oh, I don't want to say dump her. Just say dump her. I'll talk to you in a minute. See, you understand my point. I can talk to enough people and finally I'm going to get a 49er fan. Right? And then I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, listen, are you full of, do you have ingratitude in your life? Can I tell you the root of it? The root of it is you're listening to the lie. That's the root of it. And you need to come back and go, no. Where did you get off course? Where did you start thinking, like Eve thought, that God actually is against me, not for me? Amen? When did you start thinking that way? Can I tell you what? He's subtle. Sometimes this takes years of development.